2017. Can you believe it's over? I can't. Jane's got a favorite saying that I'm not sure if she learned it from me or somewhere else, because, you know, getting older is kind of like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And it really does seem that way, doesn't it? 2017 is all but over. Well, the title of my message, if you didn't read it on the bulletin, is Finishing Well Makes for a Great Beginning. And that might sound a little bit backwards to you or conflicting, I don't know. But if you take a look, I think there's a picture on the bulletin of a finish line. That line is the same line as the starting line and the finish line. So finishing that first lap or 10th lap or whatever it is, well, get you across that finish line to the new start of the next one. And that's kind of how we are when we transition from one year to the next. We make this break that says, all right, this year is over, and here's what's going to change this next year. We make New Year's resolutions. Maybe some of you have already come up with some already. You know, after the holidays, it's always one, you know what, I'm going to lose some weight this year. I'm going to get in shape. That one's always bothered me a little bit, because isn't round a shape? Amen. I think so. Yeah. Maybe even some spiritual resolutions. I'm going to start reading through the Bible this year. For the first time, I'm going to read all the way through it. Or I'm going to start memorizing verses. Or whatever it might be. I want you to think back last year, a year from now, and those resolutions you were making, how did those turn out? Can you think about ones that you made? How did you come out on them? Did it last a week? Did it last a month? Did you make it halfway through the year? Congratulations if you made it through the entire year with that resolution, because it's very rare. Most of the time, we let it slide. Well, my message today is kind of focusing on finishing well and why it's important and what it takes to finish well. We're down to our last few hours in 2017, but that doesn't mean we can't finish the year well, even if you don't think it was a good year. And yeah, we're going to be talking about this in the spiritual context of our walk with God. A boy told his father, "Dad, if there's three frogs sitting on a limb hanging over a pond, and one of them decides to jump off, how many are left?" Well, the dad says, "Well, there's two left." "Nope, you're wrong, Dad. There's three frogs sitting on a limb hanging over a pond, and one decides to jump off. How many are left?" So Dad thinks about it and thinks, "Oh, I get it. None are left because the one jumped off, and so the others followed, so they're not." "Nope, Dad, you're wrong. There's three." Dad says, "How can that be?" He says, "Because the frog decided to jump. He didn't jump. He just made the decision to jump, but he never did jump." Isn't that how it is? Well, a lot of times with our resolutions or things we start is we make the decision we want to do something. I want to start memorizing verses this year. I made that decision. Does that accomplish my goal? No. All that did was said, I made a decision to do that. It didn't put me over that start line. See, it takes action to get over that start line and get started with it. Now, it goes without saying that for us to finish something, we have to start it. A runner can't finish a race at all if he never gets started, if he just stands there at the start line. So all the hours of training, all the hours in preparation of buying the shoes that fit just right and the clothing and getting your mindset right, getting to the line and getting signed in and paying your injury fee, all that's for nothing if you don't start the race. It's the same with our walk with God. When we make a decision to start something, to strengthen our spiritual lives, to strengthen our growth in Christ, we have to start. It takes that action. But if we aren't committed to starting, and committed to finishing strong, our goals will fall short. Think about when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have. If you haven't, we need to talk soon. Making that decision to accept Jesus was a starting line in your Christian life. See, all the decision-making prior to that decision, whether it was some studying, some praying, some talking to friends, whatever it was, the situation that brought you to Jesus Christ, if you had decided no, all that was for basically of no use. It takes making a decision, takes the action of actually receiving Jesus Christ to get started. Once we've started, a verse that helps me anyway, and I think most of us keep us going, comes out of Proverbs, and I think most of you probably have this memorized, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Anybody want to try to quote it? Shout it out. Don't be shy. This is, you know, called involvement here, you know. Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Thank you, Brad. Don't rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all ways, and He will direct your paths. Keeps us on the right track. It's not an easy journey. Nobody's making claim to that the Christian life is an easy journey. There's going to be things in our lives, and there are things in our lives that knock us off course. I'm sure Penny wasn't figuring on having cancer this year. There's events that take place in our lives. Maybe a family member passes away. Maybe it's a serious illness like Penny's got. Who knows what it might be? But things get thrown at us in our human life that can knock us off, take our focus away from Jesus Christ. It just happens. You know, this past year, you've probably experienced some joy, some love, some great things. But you've probably also experienced some disappointment, some hurt, some pain, some loss. It may have been the best year you've ever had. May have been maybe the worst year you ever had. But it's not the experiences around us that matter, but it's what happens within us that matters. So the question is, did the events of last year, good or bad, draw you closer to God? Just because something we view as bad happens to us doesn't mean we still can't draw closer to God. In fact, a lot of times, that's the point where we say, God, I can't do it. I trust in You. Don't let those experiences knock you off course. Take your focus away from Jesus Christ. Staying strong in our faith requires continual workout. You don't see athletes, pick one, whatever it might be, a boxer. He doesn't just all of a sudden show up for the championship fight and hasn't been training, working out for months because he knows he won't have the endurance to last through one round even without all that training. It's no different than with us. It still takes that same training, and it's easier for us, I think, to all of a sudden let those experiences of life, job, family, you name it, get in our way, distract us to where God now isn't our priority. It's all the events taking a place in our lives around us. We got to stay with a workout. We got to keep growing. And I'll have a few suggestions a little bit later. It's easier for us to remember our failures of the past year. And I want you to think about those for just a second. What went wrong? We all have them. But God doesn't want us to focus on our failures. That's not what He's about. We're to ask God to forgive us, to receive His forgiveness, and then move on. In fact, I want to take just a moment right now, and we're just going to pray. Quietly. And if you got some failures that you need to confess to God, to get them behind you, let's do that right now before we start that new year. So let's just take a moment to pray, just quietly. You don't have to pray out loud. Father, we thank You for Your forgiveness, that we don't have to hang on to these burdens of our life, that we can give them to You. We can place them at Your feet. We can trust in You that they'll be taken care of. We can thank You for Your forgiveness of where we've fallen short in serving You. So Lord, thank You for that freedom, for that forgiveness, that you provide. Amen. All right, it's over and done. We forgot about them, right? So now let's think about the successes of 2017. What were some of your spiritual highlights? Maybe you received Jesus Christ. Maybe you renewed your life and committed to Him. Maybe you led somebody to Christ. Maybe you read through the Bible for the first time ever. Maybe you started memorizing for the first time ever. I don't know what that might be. But I think looking back at highlights of our year is a good thing, because it shows us growth. Sharon talked about that a few minutes ago a little bit. Looking at what took place in the past year and the growth that she had. Recognizing our growth or lack thereof is important. I think in probably almost every one of our houses, at least of those that have kids, and it looks like here pretty much everybody does or did, you've probably got a wall or a door jamb or something to where you measured the height of your kids through their years. I know we do. It's a closet door. We go back and look now, back in 03, when we got Kristen. It's kind of like, really? She was that small. Kristen, when she got a little bit older, she started thinking every week she wants to be measured because she wants to see how much she grew. It's an important thing for us to be able to recognize our growth, to have a chart, so to speak. We need to be able to know, how much did I grow in the Lord this year? So having those landmarks is important. Otherwise, I can just look at Kristen today and think, she's been that same size forever. But no, there's been tremendous growth. How about in our spiritual lives? Do we have that tremendous growth over the years? I certainly hope so. Hopefully you've grown from a baby Christian that's only able to drink milk to a more mature Christian that's able to eat the meat. What's your growth chart look like in 2017? If it's not where you think it should be, then let's use that to make a great start for 2018. Even though we're down to our last few hours, doesn't mean that we can't finish strong. One of the verses that Benita gave me, 2 Corinthians 8:11. And although it's a little bit out of context, it's talking more about kind of the tithing and finances and stuff, but I think it just fits right perfect. It says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it. Get that? Your eagerness willing to do it. I want to do this. Is matched by your completion of it according to your means. Do you have that same eagerness to finish strong, to finish well? I hope so. With a new commitment and desire for God, it's finishing well. When I hear the word commitment, it makes me think of a little story that some of you probably have heard. It's about a couple of farm animals, a chicken and a pig. This chicken decided one day and starts talking to the pig and says, hey, you know, our farmer's really good to us. We should do something nice for him. So the pig says, well, what are you thinking? He says, well, maybe we can make him breakfast. Okay. What should we have? So they thought for a minute, and the chicken says, well, you know, I can give him eggs. He likes fried eggs. Pig says, okay, good. What else you got? He says, well, you know, he really likes for breakfast ham and eggs. Well, the pig's a little bit concerned now. See, pig responds, that's okay, but for you, that's involvement. For me, that's commitment. How committed are you? Or you just want to... Tomorrow starts a new year. Tomorrow can be a new start with our walk with God. Are you willing to commit to growing closer to God? I want to look at some specific ways a little bit as we go into the new year for a deeper relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I'm a creature of habit, as many of you know. Change isn't easy. I'm comfortable in doing things the way I've always done them. And I think a lot of us are that way. But we need to be stretched out of our comfort zone. God doesn't want us just sitting in our comfort zone and doing the same thing over and over. We're going to watch a little video first, then we'll get into my suggestions.
Sorry, man. Time to close up. Did you get a meal?
You any good with words?
You playing Scrabble? By yourself?
Of course not. I'm playing with Fred here. He's whooping me pretty good. You want next?
Well, you know.
Let's sit down, son. It's your turn. What church are you from?
Excuse me?
I assume you were a church group.
No, no church. My wife just asked me to come. Right in the middle of a football game.
Yeah. And there's always a game.
Okay. Fresh. 4-6-13 plus double letter for the H. 17.
Refresh. You had 17. Add 2 for the R and the E. And triple word. 57.
57 points for 2 letters?
It's God's favorite letters.
God's what?
My mother used to say that R and E were God's favorite letters. So she named me for them. Ray Charles. Ray of Sunshine. Second note of the musical scale. Ray! Your turn.
Okay. Double. 7-8-9 triple letter, 15.
Read them. Edge 2 plus double word score.
Son of a...
What?
How many R's and E's are in this thing?
Sorry, kid. They're more R's and E's than anything else.
Must be because they're God's favorite letters.
Since you don't go to church, I ain't gonna hold that against you. But you should know that whole Bible can be summed up in them 2 letters.
R and E.
That's right. Redo, repeat, renewal. It's like that old movie, Your Life is a Do-Over.
Your life is a do-over? That's the Bible.
God is all about the do-over. Grace, renewal, repentance, restoration. But first, you gotta die.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll pass.
Then no re, no redo. That's the whole point, son. The re comes from the dying. The Bible says, unless the seed falls onto the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. The old you dies, the new you thrives. Am I getting through that thick skull of yours at all?
So far, I got God's a fan of the do-over.
James, you ready to go?
Give me a few minutes. I'm finishing up a game with Ray. Well, here's one you can't just add R-E to, Ray. Speak.
E-R, speaker. While you're adding that up, you add 2 and a double word score for me.
You gotta be kidding me.
R-E is only the half of it. R-E ain't worth much if it don't change you. And E-R, it's how it changes you. Add E-R, and love becomes lover. Give becomes giver. Forgive becomes forgiver. And you know what that leads to?
God?
More R-E. It's not about what you do. It's about what you become. God wants a relationship, not a religion. He reveals the record of my wrongs, and I recognize my need for him, and I repent, and then I rejoice because Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And whoever receives him, rescued and resurrected when we die, he will give us the R.E. And we shall become E.R.s. We will be brothers and sisters, hopers and believers, helpers and fighters. We will receive our eternal reward. And all that was lost shall be restored in his eternal realm.
I think I like you, Ray. You're smarter than you look.
I sure hope so.
R-E and E-R. I've definitely never heard it before that way.
Ray is what life's all about. How will you R-E and E-R?
Hey. We should lock up.
Nah, I'm getting schooled anyway.
Remember, son, we all need a redo.
Next time you'll give me that redo?
I think you have me confused with God, son. Next time I'm still up 1-0.
You didn't know R.E. was so important to God, did you? Well, let's look real quick. First of all, one thing I want you to do is re-evaluate. Re-evaluate where you are with God. Re-evaluate your spiritual disciplines. What are you doing right now? Re-evaluate them. What can you do different that'll make you closer to God? Ask yourself, why do I do this? Is it just something I do out of habit anymore? Or is it something that I do because I desire to grow in Christ? Is it because somebody told you to do it? Or because you have that desire to grow in Christ and deepen your relationship with God? Ask yourself, why do I do it this way? The way you pray, the way you read through the Bible, the way you do Bible study, the way you do whatever. Reevaluate. Secondly, rearrange. Arrange your patterns, your habits. Look at what those areas are. If you've prayed the same way for a number of years, maybe try something different. If you've been reading through the Bible in a certain fashion, maybe look for another reading program. If you've not memorized Scripture before, find a way to do that. Thirdly, probably the most important, renew. Renew your commitment to doing those things that truly expose you to more of His wisdom, His love, His mercy. Renew. Consider what you would like to accomplish this next year with God. What areas do you need to grow in? Do you need to trust Him more? Do you need to study more? Do you need to pray more? Maybe forgiveness is a hard area for you. Maybe loving others is a hard area. Maybe loving yourself. What area do you need to work on with God? Lastly, find a Christian friend to be a disciple partner. Someone to help you, that you can go to and speak with. Maybe someone that you're sharing scriptures with daily. But most importantly, somebody to help hold you accountable. We don't like that word, do we? But it's an important word. It's not a bad word. It's saying, you know what? I'm just checking in on you. Did you get that scripture read today? What'd you think about it? Someone to hold us a little bit accountable. There's a sense of excitement starting with something new. And that's what we got coming tomorrow. It can open your heart and mind to a new and wonderful thing in Scripture, maybe that you've never seen before. And that will give you a new glimpse of the Savior. And that's exciting. Close with this question for you. So what are you going to choose? You want to be a pig? Or you going to be a chicken? Well, a pig, remember, is completely committed to Jesus. Or chicken, you're just involved with Jesus. If it helps for you to make your decision, think about what Jesus did. Remember that little bracelet, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Well, you don't even have to go there. Think about what he did. He was completely committed to you and still is today. He died to give you eternal life, to give you salvation, died to give you a relationship with God. He was completely committed. Being able to finish 2017 well will lead you to a great beginning in 2018. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today for, I guess, the mark of a new beginning. Lord, that we can put behind us the things that we need to put behind us this past year, and we can look forward to things, the blessings, the love that you're going to have for us this coming year. Lord, I really pray that whatever comes our way this year, good, bad, or ugly, whatever it might be, Lord, that we would keep our eyes completely focused upon you, that we wouldn't veer off course with you. Lord, I pray that each one of us would stretch ourselves a little bit to learn to grow closer to you, grow closer in our walk. Lord, I thank you for loving us and that we can have redos. Lord, that you're willing to forgive us even when we mess up. So, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.